Saturday AM Live with Vance Rogers.
Well, welcome everybody to Saturday AM Live. This is Vance Rogers, and this morning we have with us Alan Reichel. Thank you for taking 30 minutes out of your schedule and,
no problem.
And blessing our group, because you've never, and this is totally my fault, as we discussed a few days ago, totally my fault of never having you on the line before. You're new to this group, so they've never heard your story of how you went from tennis coach / financial advisor / Canadian living up in the cold north to enjoying life that others only dream of down in Florida now. So take us back to 20 years ago when it all started for you.
No problem, Vance. Actually, it's 21 years ago.
Okay.
You're two decades plus one. No problem. Well, just to give you a little idea, my background was I'm a former tournament tennis player and coach. And through my many years of wear and tear, I ended up with some very serious neck, back, and shoulder problems. My orthopedic surgeon in Toronto, Canada, where I'm originally from, told me I would suffer for the rest of my life, that I had to learn to live with it. I did physical therapy, massage therapy, chiropractic care, which helped increase the range of motion in my neck, but the problem just didn't go away. So here I was, I would have been around 25 years old when I started suffering. And for all these 4 years I suffered, I was just hoping, praying that somehow a miracle or something would happen to improve my life. And lo and behold, I heard about Nick Cannon in it was around February 92. And the person that originally told me about it, someone I knew, he talked about it, and for whatever reason, I guess I wasn't open-minded. I wasn't even willing to listen to it. It took all the way till April till I finally said, okay, I'll take a look.
Alan, I have to ask, because a lot of us go through that same thing, either when we're sharing Nikan with other people or even ourselves, that we just feel like, hey, come on. And I know my mom, 6 months prior to being introduced to Nikan, was introduced to it by a friend, and her attitude was, okay, come on, if there was something legit with this, I would have heard about it, wouldn't I? And it really kind of hindered, I'm not quite destroyed, but it injured a relationship. What was it for you that, I mean, here you are suffering, and you're presented a solution, by what basis of knowledge or experience were you basing your apprehensions or your willingness to be stubborn?
Well, I was just going to say it's pure stubbornness. I mean, there's nothing more to it. I mean, I just wasn't open at that time, and fortunately, I became open over time and started using the products on April 92, and just after 3 nights of using the product, my neck, back, and shoulder problem basically disappeared. It wasn't 100% gone, but I was a totally new person. And at that point, I realized if these products could help people even a little bit, like it helped me, this could become a very large business. And the truth of the matter, it did. You know, within that, to share my stories, after that, I decided to get involved. I still had some other businesses, so I couldn't go full tilt, but I went pretty, at the beginning, I really did go full tilt. Even though I had these other businesses, I sort of put them on the side for the beginning, and I think deep in my mind and my heart, I was hoping that this was it, and I could, move on from my other stuff that I was doing at the time. And what ended up happening was, in our day, we had to do 40,000 volume over a 2-month period.
Mm-hmm.
And, by June, the end of June, I was well over the 40,000 and became sober. And I realized something, and this was probably what I like to talk about, is to teach how, the mistakes that I made in my business, because I think that's what helps other people.
Well, Alan, and we're talking about a marketing plan today that we get to enjoy of 12,000 to reach that same mark. So when you make that comment and you tell people that, you know, what I had to do was 40,000. How on earth, and you're admitting you made mistakes, how on earth did you even generate the 40,000 in 2 months? You're talking 20,000 per month, or 30 and 10, or, you know, 50, whatever the numbers, how they played out.
17 and 25. It was 42,000, 43,000. I just remember, it's so long ago, but I still remember.
Those are the type of things that, you know, when you work for them and you fight for them, you do remember them. So what did you do? I mean, who were you talking to? Did you make a 100-name list? Did you just, you know, talk to the pizza delivery guy? I mean, who were you talking to?
That pizza was good. No, being serious, I did make a list of 100. I was told to do it. I had no experience in the network marketing industry. I made the list once. I made the list twice. I made the list 3 times. I just kept, I was just so excited. I just truly believe so much. Look, when you're feeling good after suffering for so long, just work on enthusiasm. Now, enthusiasm is great, but it only lasts so long, which is one of the things that I learned, was that I had to learn how to lead properly and how to work with my people, something I did not understand. See, I went sober because of one simple thing. Drive. I was very driven. I'm very goal-oriented. And I believe if we make goals, we can achieve whatever we want, because goals are nothing but a direction. So you're moving towards something. I knew what I wanted to do, what everyone talked about. It was early on in the business. There weren't a lot of, you know, diamonds or royal diamonds in the business at that time. I mean, I think the highest person I met, I don't even know if they were gold or platinum at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I remember, I have copies of the old magazine when you got pictured for going bronze, and they kind of were a little mini article.
Yeah, so I mean, to me it was all about setting the goal to go sober. It had no bearing on what the dollar figure was. I was going to find a way to get there. I mean, it's just being driven to want things. Mm-hmm. But what I learned was I wasn't really building an organization. I was building volume. I was helping some people build some volume. But here's the problem. I was doing all the work for them. I wanted it so badly that I would do anything to help these people get to levels, but maybe they weren't that interested in getting there. I mean, I helped a girl go bronze, but was it really about her or was it about myself? And that's when I learned that leadership is not always from leading. I'm a strong believer when you talk about leadership. You know, people ask you, so do you lead from front, you lead from behind, and I'm a believer that you're doing both, because the truth of the matter is, your business, you're trying to help people become leaders. So if you're always in the lead, how can they become a leader? So you have to go back and become a support for your organization so they can grow and they can lead, and they then do the same for their organization.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you talk about leading from behind, or leading from supporting.
Yes.
I know one of the biggest things, and because you and I were chatting about this a few days ago, is that either you're really good at it in the network marketing industry or in the relationship building. Because when the tool or when the technology was introduced back in the 70s or 80s, I want to say late 70s, early 80s, the party line or the ability to do a three-way call.
Yes.
We had people, and there is even a network marketing company that I know of, there may be even more, that they're doing the same thing using screens built into phones, so you can't go mobile-ing around like you and I are doing. We have a cordless phone. We're not limited to, you know, that 6 or 8 foot cord that we're attached to the wall. But that concept of leveraging other people into are experiencing right out of the gate. And again, we did this back in the 80s. Those of us who can remember this, just for fun. I mean, we'd be on the phone with our best friend or whatever and say, oh, let me get Susan on the line. And,
and
we were doing it for fun. And then it kind of faded away, and now we've got instant messaging and tweeting and Twitter, you know, and all these other things, Facebooking, and we can do the same thing, even live. What is the best way, and I want to talk about this, for a bit here, that when you say leading from behind, supporting them, how is it imperative to leverage three-way calls? Or, I mean,
it is probably the most important thing there is in this whole business, that if you're not using your upline with three ways, you're missing the boat. I mean, if you'll allow me, I'd like to do a training on the...
We're all ears. And if, for those of us who are on the line right now, live, if we don't have pen and paper, I would encourage you to... this is not a monkey see, monkey do thing, or not do as I say, not as I do. No, no, I've got the pen and paper in hand. So if you're listening via the recording, grab a pen, grab a paper. This is good stuff. I mean, because Alan, what you didn't say or share with the group is, as I put in my email this week, is that you're now in the position as a royal diamond. You can't get any higher except the royal ambassador, and there's only three of those in Nikken in the world. In the 40 countries where we're doing business. So right now, the Royal Ambassador, that's a big deal. Huge deal, but Royal Diamond is right behind it. So there is some credibility to what you're about to say. So train away, my friend.
No problem. Like I said, to me, the ABC three-way calls are the key to the business, because the fact is you can't be everywhere. And what is the reason why we use the ABC? Well, very simple. As most of you probably already know, but I'll just go through it again. You know, A is the so-called expert, B is the newer person in the business, and C is the prospect. Automatically, when the B introduces the A, the so-called expert, to the prospect, there's a trust relationship built up, because the person who is, you know, who has the prospect, they have a trust relationship built up. Automatically, when they introduce each other, there's that trust. Another thing that's so important, have you ever noticed that when you talk to a family member or friend, they don't tend to listen to you? But when you hear the same thing from a total stranger, it's like the gospel. That is probably the main reason we use the ABC. You know, it's just people don't listen. The other thing that I think is very important about the ABC is it's also a training. Because when you do that call, you know, after that call, you should be talking to your newer person and discussing what went on during that call. Both from, hey, maybe the A made a mistake. Hey, you know, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. Or talk about what's good, or talk about the prospect and what happened. It's just important to be used as a learning tool. Plus, the B gets to listen to the A talking, and they're also being trained, just hearing the types of questions or types of things you will be doing on the call. Whenever I do a three-way call, I tell my person I'm going to be doing it with, I want you to call me 5 minutes before we speak to the prospect. And the reason is, I believe you need to prepare, that you should not be winging it. You should actually know what you're going to be doing. What are the most important things you're going to discuss during that 5 minutes? Well, you're going to discuss the purpose of call. Where do you want this call to end? What are we trying to achieve during this call? Number two, hot button. What's important to this prospect? What do you know about the prospect? What area, you know, does he have maybe a dissatisfaction in his life? Also, the background of the prospect. You have to know a little bit about the person as best as you can. And, of course, you never forget the last part of it. What is the next action step going to be needed? And that's all discussed in that 5 minutes. You know, as the A, what is it you're trying to do during that call? Again, you're not going to wing it. You're going to actually go out there and do something with purpose. Now, there are different types of ABC calls. You know, one thing is the traditionary, prospecting. But I'm going to tell you about one that is rarely used, and if was used more often, would probably help your businesses much more. And that's called the congratulatory call.
And this is something, Alan, not to interrupt again, but this is something that is so underused, not only in the network marketing industry, but across the board. And I immediately think of Don Kaiser, who's one of our platinums, who actually doesn't do it in a phone call format. Actually, he does it, but then he'll sit down and use the old-fashioned pen and paper on a card and put it in the mail to somebody.
Wow.
And, I mean, that is huge. So tell us why we should be doing the congratulatory call.
Very simply. First reason is, have you ever purchased something or done something in your life where you had buyer's remorse? People are new. They just invested whatever the dollar figure is, and they want to know, did I make the right decision? And this way, it gets them to feel a little bit more comfortable. They realize, because they're being introduced to somebody else who's going to say that, you know, that they are part of their team and that they're going to be helping them too. So they feel like they're not in the business by themselves, that they're actually part of something where they can work together with people. And it just makes people feel comfortable, makes them feel good about what they did and why they did it. And that's really the purpose of that call. And it's a simple call, but it's so important to make people feel comfortable.
And who do, now, are these people that are in your personal group, or how far down will you take this? I mean, because you can look down your organization and see, oh, there's somebody who's brand new, or that person wasn't there before, or are you really, you're leveraging the folks that are using you on the three-way and saying, hey, I talked to Robin this week, and looks like she is going to join, and she's going to do this. Is it, I mean, because this could be turned into, I mean, you could be on the phone 24/7. I mean, depending on how fast or slow your organization is going, how far do you take that?
Well, here's the whole thing. It's up to the individual person who has that prospect.
Okay.
Because they're the ones that are going to be introducing. It's basically an introduction to the upline. That's what a congratulatory call really is. But you want to do it as soon as possible. Now, are they all going to come to me? Or are they going to come to some of the other people in the upline? Doesn't have to be. There's so many people in between. In a lot of cases, it's the sponsor or the sponsored sponsor. And so the point is, what's the difference how many times we have to do it if that's what's going to make the difference of our business growing? Because people get into the business and stay in the business longer.
Yeah, and I can see that point right there, that getting in the business and staying in longer if they understand there is a team aspect.
Exactly.
And this is something we discuss with our daughters. You know, we're raising three. Not that we're better than you and your wife with raising one, but it's the team. We talk about Team Rogers. That this is what it takes to be part of this team, and it's not always going to be focused on you making the power play. But if we're connecting with people and congratulating them, this would be absolutely huge.
Of course.
What are some of the things that you've seen over the years, Alan, where, this is totally on a whim when I'm asking this question, but over the years you've seen people that would validate that a call from you or a call from somebody else completely changed their life?
I mean, it's hard to give one individual thing because, I mean, I try to, every time someone, a new solver, a new this, you know, I try to do those types of calls because I believe when you go out there and you show that you care, it does have an impact on people. I'll give you one example. And this wasn't just a congratulatory call. I got a phone call from somebody. I don't remember, you know, this is so many years ago. I don't remember who the person is. I just remember the consequence.
Mm-hmm.
They called me, let's say they were from North Carolina. I was in Europe, and I gave them a call from Europe. That person, many years later, told me that call really had a big impact, that you cared enough just to make a call that you were in Europe and you called me.
Mm.
People don't realize that how much of an impact we can have on people's lives by just making, you know, just anything. I mean, when we're walking, should we smile at people? Yes. It has a major impact in their lives. You may have changed that person that day.
Mm-hmm.
And that has an impact. And we just have to do things in a positive way. I want to get back to the ABC call, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Because I want to go through a lot of stuff, and I know we don't have a lot of time. And today is a very special day for me. It's my son's 10th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have to go to a birthday party.
You get to go to the birthday party.
Well, maybe I'll invite all of you too.
So go, yeah, take us back to the ABC call.
No problem. So another type of call, of course, is the prospecting call. So what are you going to do during that call? Well, first thing, of course, you're going to share your story about why you got involved with NECAN. Another area you're going to be doing is you're going to be building rapport with them, because it's important that people feel comfortable. When people feel comfortable, first of all, they'll open up to you and they'll talk. And, you know, and that's important because really, if you really look at what we do, what prospecting is all about, it's not about us. It's not about NECAN. It's really about the person and what their needs are. So when we're on a phone call or we're meeting with people or we're talking to people anywhere, it's all about finding out what's important to them. And that's the second part, what is important to the prospect. And how do you find out these things? You have to ask. You can't be afraid to ask questions. I was talking to somebody in Texas just yesterday, and I didn't even know he was in my organization. I was just helping him something. He asked me about Mexico, so we were talking. We went through the whole thing. And I don't know. I just have this thing when someone calls me, I like to help them. I like to do a little bit of a training, even though I don't know the person. I didn't know what organization. He ended up being in my organization, but I had no idea until the end of the call I asked him, "What, you know, where are you?" But the thing that's so important is that you ask the right questions. Sometimes you have to ask the tough question nicely, you know, and what that means is you may be in a conversation where you ask a person, so what do you do for a living? And they tell you and say, well, how long have you been doing it for? 9 years. And then you ask, are you still enjoying it as much as you used to?
Oh, that's a good one.
You know, I mean, look, what we're doing is we're looking to find out in what areas they're dissatisfied with their lives, and to be able to show them how NECAN can help improve that and better their life. That's really what we do. If we can stop forget about ourselves for a moment,
mm-hmm.
and realize it's not about us, it's not about us going silver, gold, platinum, diamond, Pearl Ambassador, it's about making a difference in another person's life, our business will grow a lot quicker. And we're doing things in the right sequence, which is, it's about the other person.
Well, and what you're talking about, Alan, is you're building relationships. And
correct.
I know that in the insurance industry years ago, statistically, that they always said it takes 4 to 5 contacts with a person to make them feel comfortable or to establish trust. I think it probably could be shortened nowadays because...
Sure.
When you connect with somebody on Facebook, even if you don't know that, but you have another mutual friend, I think there's an established element of trust there, so it can be accelerated. But asking questions right up front is, I think it's twofold, and I know you know this, that we're trying to find out of them, hey, how out of whack in the 5 pillars of health are they?
Right, exactly.
And if they're open and they're honest, they'll tell us that, you know, no, I got an email the other day from a gal, and she said, my husband hates his job. They keep scheduling him different hours. He does not enjoy it. And we want NECAN to be our solution here because we can't keep doing this.
Yeah, no question about it.
So,
no problem. Let me move on to the next one, mm-hmm. if you don't mind. The next one is a training call. You can train people through the phone. Or through Skype, or through Google Plus, or through Bojabi, whatever tool you're using. But you can actually train people on these calls and, or, you know, however you do it. And that's important because, you know, newer persons in the business, and let's say the sponsor is very new. You know, let's say they've only been in the business for a week. Are we going to let them do all the training of the new person? No, we're not, or nor should we at that point. That's when we need to lead. Remember I said you lead first, support later. And you support to allow people to become leaders. But at the beginning, they need you. So you can use it as a training call. Another type of call you do is what I call a long distance wellness preview. In other words, let's say you're doing a wellness preview at your house. And then you get myself to call in nearer to the end because you don't want to do it at the beginning of the meeting, you want to do it nearer to the end so they have a little more information. And during that call, you're going to, you know, again, talk about a little bit about yourself so they get to know who you are. You know, so basically you tell your story and you answer questions. And your whole purpose there is, again, because you're so far away, or at least in another, at least a mile away, but it doesn't really matter where you are because by phone, that you again become, you know, that person who's not there. So that it sort of goes back to the family friend. You know, family or friend when you talk to them. When someone's, you know, calling long distance, you make it, first of all, you make it important to the people that they say, wow, this person's willing to call in. Wow, that's really neat. And then they realize, wow, I could do this too. So you're making people, again, feel comfortable. And that's very important. Now, there are rules to ABCs and three-way calls that I think are very important. And one of them is that the B does not speak unless spoken to. And the reason that is so vital, you've brought this person in, you've told this other person that this person's an expert, and then you're talking. So right away, you're taking away the credibility of the person you asked to do the call for you. So it's very important. Plus, it just makes the call also just go off. You know, because the A is actually leading it in a certain way, trying to, you know, understand who this person is, building the rapport, you know, asking questions, and I don't know if it's a, you know, I don't have a specific sequence. I'm a strong believer when you're on a call with someone, you have to play it out and see where the calls can take. You don't know everything. You may know where you want to end up, but you can't know everything that's going to be on the call. Because you don't know what the situation's gonna, you know, become. Another thing is, again, one of the rules, always end with the next step established. Who likes to talk with an answering machine? Is there anybody there who likes to talk to an answering machine? I hate it with a passion. And so my point is that I'm always gonna have the next step established to, you know, either a meeting, if I live in the area with the person, or, you know, or they're going to be meeting, or there's a preview on a certain date, and that you're going to be picking them up at a certain time. You just don't leave anything to chance, because it's not worth it.
Absolutely.
One other thing I just want to mention, because people always ask me, what do you tell people to say to set up an ABC? Is there something you can do to make a person be interested to talk to a person? And that ABC, again, could be a phone call, it could be an in-person three-way, you know, ABC meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very simple what I say. I would like to introduce you to my business associate who has been in the business a lot longer than myself and is very successful. And if you decide to get involved with NECAN, they would be part of your team also. I keep it very simple. As you notice it during that, one of the things I said was, if you decide to get involved with NECAN. And the reason I use that terminology is I believe you got to make people feel comfortable all the way through. People don't want to be pushed into a business. People want to make the decision themselves. And you know what? I want them to make their own decision because I'd rather work with someone who wants to do the business than someone that we push into the business. Because that person's only going to waste our time and stop us working with the legitimate person who really wants to build the business. And we only have so much time in a day and we need to use it wisely. And that's how I use the ABC.
Well, and that's, you covered so much in such a short, concise amount of time, and the value of, I think the biggest thing here, Alan, is that we have got to, not going backwards in time, but we have to use technology in its proper place.
Yes.
And how many times have we talked to people and said, well, I don't understand why nobody came to the wellness preview. I contacted 50 people. Really? How did you? Well, I sent an email.
And how many did you go pick up? And how many did you go pick up? I mean, I'd rather a person pick up one person a week and or two than to expect them to show up, because rarely do people show up. You need to go that extra mile and do that. Mm. And I think it's important. Can I just want to say a few more things.
Absolutely. We got a few minutes here.
No problem. You know, like, why NECAN and why now? First, of course, our unique products. Nothing else out there is like them, as we all know. You get to be your own boss, work flexible hours, work part or full time. You get to work from home and have the opportunity to become financially independent. And if you want to, you can travel the world. For me, that was a passion and is a passion. I've traveled a lot. I've been on every continent because that was what was important to me. And we all do things for a reason. Well, why now? Personally, I see that we're going to have tremendous growth over the next 3 to 5 years. I believe some people will double, triple, or quadruple their incomes in that time. Why?
Not to interrupt you again, Alan, but Reed Nelson, in the event that he spoke at last night in Austin, which because of technology,
yes,
I'm able to sit in Oregon and take that event in, but he made the comment that in the first quarter of 2013, their business, him and Yvonne's business, was up substantially,
sure,
over a year ago. And we're seeing that if we change our mindset and we'll say, okay, there's a lot of people out there that are really, really frustrated with their jobs. And they're really frustrated, like you and I were, with the physical things that we were dealing,
sure,
with. And we shouldn't have been in our 20s dealing, but it's even worse today.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we spent last year alone $33 billion on cosmetics just in America, just in the U.S. And if we're willing to spend that much on covering up, you know, and I'm not opposed to makeup, okay, at all.
Sure.
But I think the core issue here is if we're willing to invest that much in cosmetics, then people,
sure,
would be willing to say, hey, well, do you think that'll work for me? And we're going to hear more about this coming soon, but Roger Drummer is getting ready to take his collective years of decades of experience and put it into a website as a support tool for us. And I just am starting to get the details, and I think he mentioned that last night in his presentation.
Very nice.
But there's so much out there if we will take advantage of it.
Right. And just getting back to where I was, so why is all this going to happen? Well, it's because of our unique products and our great new comp plan. In our new comp plan, you need 12,000 points over 3 months. And, of course, when I started, you need 40,000 over 2 months. Therefore, you're talking about quicker results, quicker income. Volume requirements that they have in this plan help you to build for income instead of just pin rank. And I think that's very important because it's not about becoming platinum. It's about creating an income for your life and for ongoing stability. And this whole thing is our comp plan is set up that you build a proper structure and which will create the volume, which will create your income. So in other words, you're not going to have people that are platinum, that are going to be earning what a silver should be making.
Sure.
And that's the whole concept of the changes that are in the middle of occurring right now. And I guess I'm fortunate that I did build a good, strong business with some great width and then build the depth because I learned. Because if I go through, and I'm not going to have the time to go through this right now, when I started the business, you had to go very wide because to go diamond, you had to have 10 silvers. Now, I'm not going to take people back 20 years, but anyone knows that if that's the case, your business, as you are building your 10th, you just lost your first 3 or 4. So it didn't make a lot of sense. That's when Nika made their changes where you have golds and platinums to help you go to platinum and diamond. You know, but so you could also with silvers to platinum, but if you're talking diamond or royal diamond, you had to do it with golds and platinums. In other words, building a strong business. That's why I'm a strong believer is you need to have 6 leadership legs. And then from your 6 leadership legs, you work with the 3 strongest ones and you help build those strong and deep. And that's how you do it. You know, if you're looking all the way to Royal Diamond, that's what I would suggest. Now, I've been in the business for 21 years and just went Royal Diamond. And going Royal Diamond at any time is amazing. But I was Diamond probably around 4 years into my business. So people say, well, what happened those 17 years? You know, why were you not Royal Diamond a lot earlier than that? Well, it's very simple. My goal was Diamond. I made the mistake of limiting myself to Diamond. Next thing that happened is I had to nice six-figure income from the, my second year in the business, I had a six-figure income. So I guess I wasn't hungry enough at that time. Even though I'm very goal-oriented, I was making great money. And I guess it just wasn't where my focus was. And that's okay too. You know, because I was still living my dream. I still had everything I needed without being Royal Diamond. Until a few years ago when I realized and finally put it in my head that it was important to go Royal Diamond, both for my organization, for them to see the growth, as well as for myself, because I've been Diamond long enough. You know, at that point, my wife and I, because when I got married, I was already in the business.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife wasn't there at the beginning. And for us now to be Royal Diamond, it's very special. We feel blessed. We feel fortunate. You know, it's a big deal, and it's wonderful, but it's about so many people. It's not just about us. It's about our organization. It's about Nikin Corporate. There are so many reasons why we're Royal Diamond today.
And Alan, you nailed on so many key issues here that all of us, including myself, I'm thinking back here, 13 years now that we've been Diamonds. And we've gotten that question many, many times. Well, how come you're not Royal Diamond? Because the desire, not hungry enough for it. And the flip side is, and I'm sure you would agree on this one, that you're just simply having too much fun. Enjoying the journey of, okay, well, what is it going to take to work to make that other happen? Well, it's going to take this and this. Every person's organization, every person's people equity is going to be different. And, but the bottom line is, what do we really want? What are those goals? Have we taken the time to put them on paper? What's it going to take to make that happen? And what are we willing to sacrifice? And I know that's something that you did.
That's important to me.
Yeah,
I did not mention
it. You did not mention it.
If you want me to mention it quickly, I can.
Well, go ahead.
You just put me, I forgot. I just didn't have it down today, but,
about
I got my son's birthday to think about too, you know?
about what you sacrificed back in the beginning and let's move
no
on.
No problem, because I do believe that it's important in life to create success in anything you do. You need to give up something to get there. So the question is, what are you willing to give up to achieve the results that you want in your life? Well, I made a decision. My background being tennis and sports, I love all sports. Okay, I guess you'd call me a sports fanatic. And at that time when I began in 1992, my baseball team, because I was from Toronto, was Toronto Blue Jays, were the best team. They won the World Series in 1992 and they won the World Series in 1993. I gave up watching Blue Jay games my first 2 years. I did not give up watching the playoffs. I'll let you know that right now. I was in Mexico in 93. During the playoffs, I saw every game in Mexico City. Because every game went the periods of time when I was there. But the point I guess I'm trying to make is, to me, that was something very important because I love sports. And I realized that I had to put in the time and effort to create the business. You know, as Jeff Van Blerkum always said, is if you're willing to do what others aren't willing to do for a few years to live a life that people only dream of.
For the rest of our lives.
For the rest of our lives, exactly. Would it be worth it? Mm-hmm. And the answer is yes. And so I gave that up. And guess what? I don't miss any sporting event anymore. I have season tickets to hockey. I'm going to the second Heat basketball game on Tuesday. Except for our lousy Marlins team where I will not give them money than what this owner did. But I'm able to do what I want to do now and be able to enjoy all the sporting events and do everything that I, you know, care about with the Miami Dolphins and all our teams here because I love sports. So think about what you can do over the next 6 months to a year that you'd be willing to give up, not forever, but for a short period of time, so you can create the results that you want in your life.
And I know, Alan, that so many of us are saying, well, I really want to do that, but and even for a prospect to go full circle back to the three-way calls, talking to a gal yesterday who said, Vance, I don't have any money, and I don't think I know that many people. And I said, really? that's the best excuses you're going to give me for wanting to, you know, for not willing to be able to. But she really wants Nikan because she knows she's not going to be able to make it as a single mom with her job. And I said, let's talk next week and let's overcome those. And let me talk about where I was 20 years ago and show you that I don't think we're too much off from each other. But the key is, if they're willing to be honest with themselves and say, okay, well, you're spending this much time. If you say you have no time, you're spending this much time every week or every month doing this. How important is that to your family and how important is that to your future? And if you're willing to give it up, I think we can change some things. So, well, Alan, you've got a birthday party to get ready for, and I want to thank you again. For those of you who missed the intro at the beginning, Alan Rako has been our guest this morning from Florida. And if you haven't met him in person, you'll see him in Las Vegas next October. But, Alan, thank you for taking 40 minutes out of your schedule.
It's my pleasure, and I'd love to do another time.
Hey, we will do.
Let me tell you what I'd like to do another time, because today, you know, it was you and I want to be able to get to know some of your people, let them talk and tell me a little bit about their story, and answer questions. See how we can maybe help them think things maybe a little differently.
So you're meaning the host would have to yield control. I don't know if he'd be willing to do that.
Well, if he's not, hey, what did I say about leadership?
Oh, I've got it written down, trust me. I'm going to go back over these notes and, oh, yeah, that was a really good point, Vance. I think that one was only for you, not for anybody else. But, yeah, let's plan on it, and you and I will talk. We'll get a date on the calendar, and we'll open up the line so everybody can throw some things your way, because that would be absolutely terrific. So we'll definitely make it happen. So
sounds good.
Happy 10th birthday to your son, and thank you again, Alan, and we'll let you go. Thank you so much.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I want to remind everybody that if you got somebody that you think would be beneficial for them, SaturdayAMLive.com is the website. And that's just simply www.saturdayamlive.com and just look for Alan Rako, it's R-A-C-K-O, in the bold red print and it'll be right there. Have a great weekend everybody and look forward to talking to you real soon. Bye bye.
To learn more about Nikan, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.